Advent. And November's a great month. We have four different people preaching in November. Isn't that great? Variety. Pastor Austin and Bishop Nicholas from Kenya next Sunday, and Sherry Martin is coming on the 25th to preach here. It's great variety this month. But I want to take this opportunity today on November 4th to preach a vision sermon. It'll be a short sermon. Vision 2019. You say, isn't that better off on January 6th, the first Sunday of the new year? No, I want to do it today. And just continue to stir and invite you to be praying about this theme that is emerging for us for 2019, a year of the hospitality of Jesus. The hospitality of Jesus. And we are praying for what that means. And one of the things I shared a couple weeks ago is I believe that God is calling us. And so I'm putting out this challenge to our congregation that we resume a practice of eating a meal together at least once a month. You know, we are a body. We're the body of Christ. And when the arm hurts, one of you is an arm. When the arm hurts, the whole body feels it. And how do we know if one another are hurting if we don't know each other? How do we rejoice with those who are rejoicing if we're not knowing them? And I believe God is calling us to live into the reality of opening the gift that is one another. That we are a gift to one another. And there's something so exciting about the community of faith. And I believe that discipleship, as we talked about, always happens in small communities. Even in the larger churches, the ways that larger churches are discipling is in the smaller pockets of people within the larger church. It always happens that way. There's a place for the large church, but there's something beautiful about the way God intended for us to grow together in circles, not just in rows. Discipleship happens around circles. And that's why I believe we can say, hey, let's eat together more often. Let's sit together more often. Let's know each other. Let's appreciate the gift that we are to one another. This scripture, I think, says it well. What I believe God is calling us to make a priority in 2019. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. And you know, Kirvin, I remember hearing that the first sermon you preached here back in 1962 was from this text. Let brotherly love continue, right? That's God's coincidence there. I didn't think it's an interesting. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. The word for brotherly love, sisterly love, is Philadelphia. So you could say, let Philadelphia continue. Sounds like an Eagles cheer, but it's a let sibling love continue. You know, and we know sibling relationships aren't always easy. But there's something about a sibling, a brother-sister relationship. There's a loyalty there. I love my brother and my sister. And when we were kids, we scrapped, and I fought more with those two than anyone else in the world. But there's a loyalty and a love for Laurie and Jeff that's unlike any other kind of relationship. It's just special. There's a bond. And God wants that to be the kind of love we experience for one another in the church. You know, the ancient world, they understood sibling love. They understood the family loyalty. But what they couldn't figure out was when they saw the Christians gathering in the church and they loved one another, they weren't family, but they loved each other as if they were family. And they couldn't figure it out. It happens by the grace of God's Spirit. And I believe it is happening more and more for us here. And I pray it happens more and more in 2019. That God knits us together as a community of His people. You know, if you can put the next slide on here. What you say, what in the world kind of picture is that? Well, that is a picture that I am putting forward to you as a picture of what the church is. You say, hang on here, where are you going with this? That picture is from, I don't know, I think 1938. And that's a group of people who all have polio. And these people, most of them can't walk. Did anyone see anyone you recognize on there? President Franklin Delano Roosevelt is on there, and he had polio. And you can see, he's on the far right here, you can see that his legs are thin because he has not walked for years in this picture. These people are from all walks of life. Some of them are poor, some of them are rich. One of them is president of the United States. What do they have in common? They all have polio. Probably none of them can, they all have some kind of paralysis. They've all been ridiculed by other people for one reason or another. They have a unique challenge that dominates their life. Even though one is the most powerful person in the world, one may be a poor person from rural Georgia, but there they are at Warm Springs, Georgia, at this polio place that Franklin Roosevelt started. It was around the hot springs there in Georgia. There was thought to be healing powers in that water. So that's where this clinic started. Every single one of them have a disease that unites them together as brothers and sisters. Every single one of us are sinners. We all have a sinful nature. Rosario Butterfield, someone Andres has introduced me to, she said what really drew her to the Christian faith was this sense of we have all sinned. We all struggle with unique sins in different ways, but all of us are sinners. We come together in common need of a Savior. And the healing waters down there in Georgia may or may not have brought healing powers, but they may or may not have had healing qualities to them. But we know in the church, when we gather around Jesus Christ, we bring our brokenness. Every single person here is bringing some kind of brokenness, some kind of sin you struggle with, some way you fell short this week. And we come together, and you look around this circle. It doesn't matter who you are, how old you are. We share a common need of a Savior. We are brothers and sisters with a common disease, looking to Jesus as our common healer. That makes us brothers and sisters. That makes us brothers and sisters. And we need each other. We need each other. And that's the church. You know, one of the things that can happen, though, as we become brothers and sisters in Christ, that the tendency for the church is to form a close-knit group that then keeps outsiders away. And that's why this second part here is on here. It says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Hospitality means love for the stranger. Love for the stranger. That isn't always easy. And we live in a world, and you think about what happened last Saturday at the synagogue in Pittsburgh. A stranger came into that house of worship and inflicted incredible horror. We are more and more taught to be afraid of strangers. But you know, I don't think Hebrews is saying to us, you know, hey, love the stranger, but when you get to 2017, 2018, well, then it's just too crazy, so, you know, kind of adapt this. No, it's still there. It's still there. And you know, we talk about the persecuted church. Imagine in places where the church is being persecuted and they're not sure who they can trust to come into their circle. There's some risk. Here's someone who wants to become a believer, but we don't know. Are they a spy from the government? People in persecuted churches could tell you stories about how they had to take risks of their lives in order to show hospitality to strangers. Let me tell you a story. Back in 1975, Jennifer's parents, they lived in New York. And they had family in Michigan. And so they would frequently drive, little Jennifer, two-year-old Jennifer, and Tom and Karen Beachy, her parents, would drive across Canada over to Michigan. And they would drive back. And they did this all the time. And one year, I don't know what, maybe in January, they got caught in the middle of Ontario somewhere in a blizzard. They were stuck in the middle of nowhere, somewhere in Ontario, somewhere in Canada, somewhere out there. It's a lot of rural area out there between Michigan and New York. And there they were. And they didn't know what to do. Nightfall was coming, and they had a two-year-old little girl. What are they going to do? And they were desperate. And they went to the first house they came to and knocked on the door and said, would you please help us? You know, and Jen's dad said, my wife and daughter are in the car. We need help. The blizzard's coming. We don't know what we're going to do. And the guy said, I'm sorry. I don't know you. I can't help you. And he shut the door. So they went to the next house they came to. These folks didn't know them either. They were an elderly couple, and they invited Tom and Karen and Jennifer, little two-year-old Jennifer, into their house. Didn't know them. This could have been some kind of trick. You know, oh yeah, you kidnapped these folks, and now you're going to come into our house, and you're using the blizzard as an excuse. No. They opened up their home, gave them a wonderful warm meal, gave them a place to sleep, became their friends. And for years, and I want to ask Jen's parents again about this story, get the details straight, but they would go back and visit them when they would go through Ontario. They're no longer living. They became friends for life. But that took some risk. And I think back to say, wow, I am sure glad they took that risk. I'm sure glad they took that risk. Hospitality always comes with a risk. Loving the stranger. And I want to move this to the challenge for our congregation. You know, I believe God is calling us to grow in our Philadelphia, in our love for one another's brothers and sisters, but I believe God is giving us the opportunity to live into the ministry of hospitality, loving the stranger. And this, what I love about this scripture here is it says, "For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it." I got to say, yeah, there's an angel, Jennifer. They showed hospitality to the angel. But what you're saying here is, you don't know what God is up to when you're loving the stranger. You don't know what God is doing. And I think about that as a church. We have guests coming through here all the time. You never know, by showing love to someone coming in here as a guest, what God is doing. You have no idea. And I think for churches, we need to get past the place of, okay, we'll offer hospitality because we want to get people to come to our church, and we'd love to have people come to our church, but that's not what God is asking us to be our motivation. He says, you show hospitality, I lead people where I want them to go and what I want them to be. You trust me with the rest. You show hospitality. You show love to every single person that walks through the door. You know, the scriptures tell us that there's always a temptation for the churches to show favoritism. Oh, here comes someone well-dressed, a wealthy person, we treat them well. Here's someone who we don't see as much use to us, and so we'll treat them shabbily. No, he says, hospitality, the love of the stranger is given without qualification to anyone who comes to your door. Anyone who comes through, that's your calling, and that's our calling as a church. I've been waiting for a chance to share this story. 6 weeks ago, I was here in my office, and people come through here all the time. You wouldn't believe how many people come here to look at our cemetery. We got to set up put a Coke machine out there or something, you know. It's great. What a tourist attraction. So one day I was here in my office, and you know, they always come when you don't quite have time for them, but they're there. And so I went out to greet them. They had a Florida license plate. And these folks were real friendly and kind. They said, "We are here." They said, and the woman said, "I was a fresh air child of Boyd and Martha Wirt." I think she said back in the 60s. "I came from Brooklyn, New York." She said, "And I want to tell you," she said, "I brought my husband back here because that experience with Boyd and Martha, the spending time in their home each summer, changed my life. But," she said, "I also brought them here, my husband here to Groffdale, because this church loved me." She'd come here once a year, maybe a Sunday, maybe two, I don't know. But she brought her husband back here because this was a significant place in which she received the love of Jesus, the love for the stranger, the love of a little girl from Brooklyn, New York, who came here. And you all loved her. Now, some of us weren't around then. Some of you were. You loved her. And she is a believer in Jesus today, in large part because of what happened here in Lancaster County through Boyd and Martha and through Groffdale Mennonite Church. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And I was looking forward to a chance to share that with you, and now's the time. You never know how God is at work. It may be someone comes through here and we show hospitality and love, and that's a step on the journey for that person to come to know Jesus, and maybe they go to worship center. Praise be to God. We show hospitality to the stranger. Let God lead them where they go. But you know, God's in it. And there's a wonderful, exciting thing about being part of what God is doing in the lives of the stranger that God brings to our doors. It's a wonderful thing. You know, as we come into this next year, as we live into this mission to live out the hospitality of Jesus, I want to share with you something leadership team and admin team has been working and praying through, and I'm just sharing it through with you today to receive your informal feedback. That we've been in discussions with a woman named Lynn Godshaw, and she is an interior decorator, and she's been sitting with us, and we haven't signed a contract with her yet, but we are looking to gather a team of people to meet with Lynn. And Lynn wants to know what our vision is. And the team of people that we are in discernment and calling together would tell her that what our vision is, and then she would give some suggestions about how we may want to make some small changes to our facility to enhance our ability to live into the mission of God, which is offering hospitality to all kinds of people who come through our doors. You know, there are people out there, and those of us who've been in church all our lives can't fully identify with this. There are people who are scared to death to come to church. They do not know what to expect here. I've been in church all my life. I can't wrap my head around what that feels like, and many of you can't either. But what does it mean for us to really think with the mind of the outsider as priority? What does that look like? Let me tell you one short story, and I'm coming to the end here. Corrie ten Boom, back in the 1940s, her family was drawn into this ministry of hiding Jewish people during the Holocaust. And they opened up their home. And it started with a few here and there, but it turned into more and more were coming to their home there in Holland to hide from the authorities who were going to send them to concentration camps. And as they got more and more involved in this, they needed, you could say, a consultant to help them set up their house. And this person came through who was part of the underground network and came in to look at their house and said, "Do you have a secret room?" And they said, "What do you mean a secret room?" They said, "You need a secret room. Because when there's a raid, you need to be able to hide your fugitives very quickly." And so this man set about looking all over their house, the Ten Boom house there, and he came to Corrie's room. This is her bedroom. This is her space. This is her refuge. And the man said, "This is it. This is perfect." And he got his measuring tapes out and he was measuring. He said, "This is perfect. This is absolutely amazing. This is the best place I've ever seen to put a secret room." And he's measuring out and Corrie's like, "That's my bedroom. This is my space. I need this. It's not that big to begin with." And he's like, "Oh, this is perfect." And he set about making plans. And he said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take 4 feet of your room and we're going to turn it into a secret room to hide fugitives when there's a raid." And Corrie had to be willing to give up, to inconvenience herself for the mission of God. This hospitality, radical hospitality toward people who this was a life and death situation. That was a key point for Corrie in laying down her life. First, it meant laying down her room. That led to more and more steps to eventually she was sent to a concentration camp. Her sister and her father died in the concentration camp. But it begins with small steps of obedience, of inconvenience. And, you know, I don't think the Lynn Godshall is going to propose a big secret panel in our church or anything like that. But, you know, it's about the mission of God. And it's about believing that looking through the eyes of the outsider, as insiders, saying it's the mission of God is to take the gospel to those who need it, to those who are hurting, and to be a place where when people come through our church, we can offer them the hospitality of Jesus and to remove the obstacles, whatever they are. We can't even see what they are. In the same way that the Ten Boom family needed to rearrange their house, what ways is God calling us? And it's not just physical things about our facility. It's so much more. It's a heart thing. But I believe God is calling us to say, "Lord God, will you give us the courage to make some tangible changes that also go along with changes in our heart?" That's what happened to Corrie. When she submitted her bedroom to give up a space in there, it also changed her heart to be able to more fully lay down her life for the mission of God. I am excited about this new year. And we don't have to wait till 2019 to live into this stuff. But I believe God is calling us to grow together as people of brotherly, sisterly love for one another. And God is calling us to open the circle. And God is calling us to be a community that is on mission together. Loving the stranger, trusting God to be at work in the hearts of people who come in their path, whether it's your home in your neighborhood, or whether it's here as a community of faith at Grafdale. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you that you call us into mission, that you call us into community. But that community is not just for being comfortable together, but you call us into community that is on mission together to seek and save the lost. And we recognize only you can change a heart. Changing decor doesn't change anyone's heart. But Lord God, it can be a step of obedience in aligning ourselves with your priorities. We submit this to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.